Pastor Paul put this up here for me. People were wondering in the first service why I have a rock on the stage. Now you know. No, that's not the reason. I want to talk to you about how many of you, I want to ask you a question first. How many of you have an area in your life, something in your life, and you're looking for a breakthrough? You've been praying for it for a while. Maybe it's been a month. Maybe it's been, 2 months. Maybe it's been a year. But you've been, maybe it's been years, but you have not seen what you've been praying for manifest in the physical yet. How many would raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'm believing for some stuff. Raise your hand real high. I want to see all over. Okay, good. You came the right day. I want to talk to you today. Because let me just tell you right up front, there is nothing that can stop you. I'm going to prove that to you. There's nothing can stop you except you. I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to show you in the Word of God that if you will not quit, if you won't stop, the manifestation of what you're believing for will happen. Now, before you want to argue with me, let me show it to you in the Word. Amen? How many will believe the Word if I show it to you? And this is, I'm not going to show you to one place. I'm going to show it to you over and over and over again. Why? How can I do that? Here's why. Because the Bible is, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. A lot of writers, but one author. And so you'll find something in James, and it'll say the same thing in Peter, and it'll say the same thing in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, same thing in Acts, even the same thing in the Old Testament. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed his mind. The Bible says there's not even a shadow of turning. Listen to me. When I show it to you, believe that God is true. Because there is nothing that can stop you except you. Concerning the promises that God has towards us. Here's what the Bible says. That to his promises, he only has two things that he says. Yea and amen. Yes and yes. Let it happen. That's all he says. So let's look at a couple passages. Because we look at your neighbor and say, don't give up. Don't give up. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, starting with verse 9. And let us not grow weary. Paul is saying, let's not grow weary. Why? Because that's a possibility. I mean, the Bible warns you of things, not because they're not possible, but because they are possible. So when Paul says, don't grow weary in doing good, he's telling you that because we can get tired. For in due season. Somebody say in due season. In due season. Pastor, when is due season? I don't know. I don't know. Here's what I do know. That the Bible says in due season we shall reap. Here's what I want you to catch. And you listen, a bunch of people, a bunch of goofball people, you know what? They might have a radio station, a radio show, you know what? Listen, all it takes to have a radio show on Christian radio is money. Amen? And I'm not saying because there's a lot of really good teaching and teachers on the radio, many, many good teachers. But listen, there's a lot of goofball teachers on the radio too. And a lot of goofballs on the internet, amen? A slew lot of goofballs on the radio, on the internet. And they'll say, no. You know, sometimes, you know what, with God's promises, you never know what God's going to do. Ridiculous. This is foolishness. This is foolish people trying to con you that you're not going to know. We know exactly what God's going to do. Why? Because he can't lie. It's impossible to him to lie. You want to know what God's going to do? Look at Jesus. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have four accounts of what Jesus did. And all of them are saying, you know what, the same thing in just a different kind of perspective. Thank you. You want to know what God is going to do? Look at what Jesus does. Because Jesus was God. That's why Jesus came, that we would have a better revelation. I mean, not just to die on the cross and rescue us from our sin. Absolutely. But that wasn't his only reason. He was also here to show us the will of God, that we could see it. What's my point? Here's my point. It's not a matter. Listen, your walking in the promises of God is not a matter of, you know what, of if. It's a matter of when. That's all it's a matter of. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. If you will not quit. And I want you, from the text, not from what you think or what you heard your neighbor say or what you heard your friend say or what you heard a pastor say 8 years ago and 30 people agreed. You know, those 30 people that agreed with that pastor, maybe they didn't even know the word. Amen. A lot of people just assume because the pastor, no. That is what's true. Amen. Look, it says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap. Somebody say, we shall reap.
We shall reap.
That's a definite. You can go to the bank on it. If you don't quit, you know what? You can walk in that dream that God has spoken to you, that you've seen in the Word of God. You can walk in that dream. You can have that marriage. Your body can be restored. You can be free from that addiction. Amen. You can see your family come to Christ. You can see your family serving God. Amen. You can walk in a freedom like you've never walked in before. How do I do that? Just don't quit. Amen. And notice who is, I'm just asking, notice who is the responsibility on? I'm going to show this to you over and over and over again. Why? Because God wants us to understand. Yeah, but Pastor, what about the sovereignty of God? What about the sovereignty of God? The sovereignty of God is just means that God is powerful. Is God powerful? Absolutely, he's powerful. But the powerful God says, listen, the powerful God, how many believe God's a powerful God? And the powerful God says this to you today. You know what? Don't quit. And he says this to you. If you don't quit, you know what? You will reap a harvest. There's no ambiguity in this. There's total clarity and total direction. Total in your, how many know God wants us to take responsibility for our lives? And there's a irresponsibility. We want the pretend humble, the pretend religious, the pretend self-sanctified. Self-sanctified. Say, no, we can't, stop it. This is foolishness. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, we will reap a harvest. You shall reap a harvest if you faint not. What's the issue? The only issue is this. If you don't stop, you're going to reap a harvest.
Amen.
Can somebody say
amen?
Look at your neighbor and say, don't quit. Look at your neighbor and say, now is not the time to quit. Come on, give us some Italian on this. Say, now is not the time to quit. Quit, don't quit. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Same thing. I'm going to just show it to you again. Another place. That you do not become sluggish. One version said that you do not become lazy. How many know it takes discipline to believe for something that you haven't seen yet? Amen? To continue to pray. The Bible said in Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 8 says that Jesus said, well, we'll just turn to it in a minute. Let me finish here. No. Go back. Go to Hebrews. Do not become sluggish. One version said, do not become lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise of God. There are people, listen to me, there are people who have inherited the promises of God. How did they inherit them? Two ways, through faith and patience. Somebody say, through faith and through patience. Through trusting God and through not quitting. That's what it is. The faith is trusting God. Through trusting God and not quitting. That's what patience is, not stopping. That you do not become sluggish. Oh, I'm tired. You get tired. I've been believing this for 4 weeks. Pastor, I've been tithing for 4 months and nothing has happened. I can't tell you when due season is. I'm telling you, if you don't quit, you're going to reap a harvest. Amen. That's what I'm telling you. Amen. Talk to somebody who testified at Wednesday. You know what? And he donated that two kids could go to camp. Two kids could go to camp. And within a short period of time, you know what? Somebody's family bought a new car. And you know what? And that car was given to that other person in his family. Amen. Oh, but that's just a coincidence. That's just a coincidence. I'm just going, well, you say whatever you want to say. Amen. There are all kinds of things that, you know what, that you cannot figure out, and you're going to call coincidence that they are God. Amen. And when you get to heaven, you're going to see all how the dots connect. Listen, I don't know who this is for. God is asking for some of you to be obedient, and he's saying connect the dots. That the only thing that's keeping you from walking in the fullness that God has for you is, I am smiling, right? Is, you know what? The only thing that's keeping you from walking in the faithfulness and the promises that I have for you is your disobedience. Let me get it in the positive. And if all you will do is just switch, whatever I'm asking you, if all you do is switch, you'll watch a manifestation happen so quickly it'll make your head spin. Amen. How'd they get it? How'd Noah get it? How'd Moses get it? How'd Paul get it? How did all these people who walked in the supernatural power of God, how did they fulfill what God had called them to do? Here's how they did it. Through faith and patience. Amen. They had faith in God and they wouldn't quit. They wouldn't stop. We live in a different, in an interesting place. You know what I mean? We go through Jack in the Box. You know what? You know what? And how many know we can get ticked because we don't have our food in a minute and a half? You know what I mean? How many, I'm just asking, how many of you have been ticked because you know what? You sat in a restaurant, you know, a drive-thru, and you were there for longer than 5 minutes. I said longer than 5 minutes. And what do you like? You're like, unbelievable. 5 minutes. How many know that hurts us in the kingdom of God? Because we transfer that mentality into the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. And we think wrongly that God isn't doing something. Oh, he's doing something. Listen to me. According to the passages, according to his holy scripture, the question isn't, will you succeed or will you not succeed? The question isn't, will your marriage be awesome or will it not be awesome? The question isn't, will you be healed or whether you won't be healed? Any of the promises of God, the question isn't, will you or won't you? The question is, will you not quit? Because if you don't quit, you will reap a harvest. Amen. Amen. You can argue with me, but you know what? I'm telling you. You know what? Argue with me with your Bible. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't believe that. Well, you can believe whatever you want. There are all kinds of people that listened to what Jesus said and didn't believe him. Amen? You know, there's all kinds of people right now. The Bible says, I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Jesus said, anyone who says to the mountain, be removed, cast in the sea, not doubt in his heart, but believe what he says, though that very thing that it says, it'll happen to them. And there's people, Christian people, who will think that is crazy theology. Crazy theology. I'd say what's crazy is not believing in Jesus. I'd say it's crazy to believe what Jesus says. Anyone who says to that mountain, I say it's crazy to believe that anyone isn't you. Because anyone is you. Can you say amen? Amen? That is craziness. But we become sluggish. We become lazy. We become thinking, no, I haven't seen it in 4 days. You know, I get this tithing doesn't work. This giving doesn't work. This forgiving doesn't work. I've been forgiving my spouse, you know what, and they still don't act kind to me. I've been doing it for a whole 4.5 hours. Well, aren't you the Rock of Gibraltar? Amen. See, the question isn't whether it will happen or whether it won't happen. The only question is, will you stick to it and watch it happen? Or will you get lazy and discouraged and, you know what, and watch it not happen? And then when it doesn't happen, then you'll point your head at God and say, see, God wouldn't bless me. No, that's, you're in error. I'm still smiling, right? You're in error. That's not what the Bible says. And these people, who inherited the promises? See, listen, not everybody inherits the promise. Some people do, some people don't. Who inherits the promise? The only body who inherits the promise, listen, who it is, are the people who will not quit. Amen?
Amen.
Through faith and patience. Are you learning something? Luke chapter 18. Watch this. See, I could go. I only got three. I could keep on going. And he spoke a parable to them that men ought to pray and not lose heart. Lose heart. Grow weary in doing good. Same thing, right? Saying there was a certain city and a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Just get justice for me from my adversary." And he would not for a while. But after he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man. Next verse. Yet because the widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she wear me out. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Somebody say, that's an unjust God. Unjust judge. Unjust. The unjust finally does it because he's just worn out. That's not how God is. Watch this. And shall God not avenge his own elect? Say, I'm the elect.
I'm the elect.
Who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. He'll avenge them. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really, keep it here, will he really find faith on the earth? It's interesting because I knew this passage, I knew this question, was in the Bible. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? I knew that was in the Bible. I just didn't know it was connected with this asking us to continue to pray without doubting. I didn't know that. I mean, sometimes, what is God saying? God is saying, when I come back, will I find people who will believe me even though they don't see it manifest in 4 weeks? Will I find someone who will have a tenacity to believe me even though they don't see that manifestation in 4 months, 4 years, 3 years, 8 years? Or when I come back, are we going to be so conditioned by our microwave society? Are we going to be so conditioned that we just think that if we don't see it right away, it's not going to happen? When I come back, what am I going to find? That's what God's asking. What I'm saying to you is, if you want to reap a harvest, you better make a decision that you are not going to quit. Because it is absolutely guaranteed that if you don't quit, that you're going to reap a harvest. How many know that's some good news? Amen? So what's the key? I got three keys real quick. Number one, say my history is not my destiny. You got to recognize your history is not your destiny. There's so many people get tied into what they have been. Past performances do not indicate what's going to happen in the future. Amen?
Amen.
And maybe you've had a problem with some kind of pornography on the television, or on the internet, Or maybe you're an alcoholic. Or maybe you have an anger problem. Or maybe you just won't forgive somebody. They've hurt you so bad, and you keep on thinking, playing over the hurt, and you won't let it go. Maybe you have a problem with gambling. I don't know what your issues are. Here's what I want to say to you. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Amen. And you have to do, Paul says, well, look at it. I'll show it to you in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Paul says this, "Brethren, I do not count myself as having apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forward to those things which are ahead." Paul says, I'm not saying I'm all that in a bag of chips. Here's all I'm saying. That one thing I do, I stop looking at what I used to do. I stop thinking about the bone. I stop judging myself on who I was. How many know today you're not who you were yesterday? And you need to remind yourself that. You know the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. "I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." You know, God says, "I won't remember your sins." Wow, that's a great scripture to memorize. When Satan is accusing you, "Yeah, but you did this, you did that, you lost your temper again, you did this, you did that." You know what? For us to remind him, no. I'm saying what God says. God has forgotten my sin, and I'm going to forget it also. Amen. Why? Because as you perceive in your heart, so you are. And you keep on regurgitating the same issues. What's the problem? You've got to renew your mind. How do you conform? How do you get transformed from the world? By the renewing of your mind. To what? To who you are in Christ Jesus. Stepping out in faith and saying, "I don't care who I am, who I was. That's not who I am." Amen? I don't care what I did yesterday. I don't care what I did the day before. I don't care. This is all irrelevant. Where I'm going is what matters. Amen? Yeah, but Satan would lie to you and say, "Yeah, but you've gone that way, you've gone that way, you've gone that way, you've gone that way so many times." Well, hey, amen. Today's the first day of the rest of my life. You know, and I'm not going that way today. Yeah, but Pastor, what if I go that way? Well, let the weak say they're strong. Call the things that are not as though they are. See, that's faith. Amen?
Well, I don't think, you know what,
God's ways are not our ways. But we can get on God's ways. That's why God reveals them to us. Because he wants us to start following him, start acting like God calls the things that aren't as though they were. Like it already happened. Amen. Hadn't even happened yet. Oh, it's going to happen. How do you think you came into the kingdom of God? He saw you running for him and said, "No, let me tell you what, that's a saint. That's a saint. That's a saint." You weren't a saint. You were an ungodly wreck is what you were. And me too. Amen. And God saw us and said, no. Let me tell you who they are. They're coming in the family of God. Amen. Amen? Can you say amen? Yeah, of course. That's how you got here. Amen? And how are you going to go to the next step forward? Same way. Start just trusting God, believing God. Yeah, but it don't look that way. Amen. But you'll walk by faith, not by sight. See, this sight thing will get you all jacked up all day long. All day long. This sight thing will get you jacked up all day long. All day long. This is for somebody who's not listening. I'm just joking. Number two, you have to be strong to be patient. Say you have to be strong to be patient. Now, there's three things that hinder you from being strong. Number one, others will mock you. You start calling the things that are not as though they are. You start saying, no. I know I'm having a problem in this, but I'm gonna get over this problem. With God's help, with God, all things are possible. You know what? God is going to restore my marriage. God is restoring my body. I'm healed by his stripes. See, you start saying that, all kind of people are going to look at you like, oh, my goodness, oh, they've been going to that wacko Hope Community Church. Right? Start to think that, oh, you know what, they've been listening, you know what I mean? Oh, and they're getting all, you know what, and they're getting all religious, and now they're, you know what, oh, they're off there. They're, woo. Hey, let me just bring some clarity to you, folks. Wide is the way that leads to destruction. And many are those who go by it. Amen? Listen, let me be part of the few wacky crazies. Amen? Amen? I'm talking about as the world defines it. Do you understand? That's the group I want to be part of. Because let me tell you what. They might seem wacky and they might seem crazy. But listen, when everything gets revealed, guess what? We're going to be the ones who are right. And right, I don't mean like in some kind of negative, they're wrong. I mean, we're going to be on God's side, the faith side. Listen, these things are, understand this, that when the prophet called on God to do something, this very time that he prayed, the angel was already released. Wow. Now, it took 21 days for the angel who was wrestling in the spiritual realm to see the manifestation. This is in the Old Testament. It took 21 days for them finally to arrive. But praise God, how many know the angel was dispatched the minute that the prophet prayed? Amen. Can you say amen? See, listen, and that's how the spiritual realm works. There's things that have to happen in the spiritual realm all kinds of times. And we don't understand it all, but we don't need to understand it all. All we need to understand is Galatians 6:9, that if we won't grow weary in doing good, we will reap if we don't lose heart. Are you catching that? Amen. But people are going to mock you. People are going to mock you. They mock Jesus. Remember when Jesus said, here's what he said. This man has a child. She's sick to the point of death. He asked her, hey, come and heal my child. Jesus says, okay. He's going over to the guy's house. They come up to him and say, you don't need to bother him. It's too late. She's dead. Jesus says, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. And then those people started to mock him, started to ridicule him, started to make fun of him. Here's what one version says, because they knew she was dead. Well, can I submit to you, maybe you're not as smart as you think you are when we start to question whether things that are happening in our life are really happening or not. Sometimes we get way too focused on what we see. And listen, and they'll start to mock you. You know, be careful who you listen to. Be very protective of your heart. Because from your heart flow the issues of life. And when you allow those naysayers, those people say, no, what the doctor said is more true than what God said. I say what God says is more true than what the doctor said. Amen. I don't care if he's got a stupid x-ray. Amen. I don't care if he can show you, well, see, we're here on the x-ray. Oh, calculations all wrong. I don't care about that. I care about the blood of Jesus. You know what? I care about the stripes on his back that provided provision for me to walk in his healing power. I care what the Bible says, to forget not all his benefits, who heals us from all our diseases. Where'd you get that? From the Bible. Amen. This is what we can rely our life on. You cannot trust what you see. You cannot trust people. You cannot, and listen, and when they mock you, just recognize, you know what, you don't have to get all negative. You don't have to get all self-righteous. Ooh, you know, my Bible, you know, you don't even know. You don't even,
You don't even know the word of God.
Don't get self-righteous with people. Just recognize they don't know the word of God. Amen? I was meditating one time. I told you this. I was meditating one time on the healing power of God, healing power of God. Just meditating. And I coughed or I sneezed. And I was. And the lady was in line. She said, "Oh, are you getting sick?" And I'd meditated on this so much. And I just barked at her. I said, "No, I'm not getting sick." Right in the grocery. "No, I'm not getting sick." Who's this crazy checker? You know what I mean? I said, "Whoa." Amen. And I recognized, ooh, that was, and then I tried to, you know, like you try to tone it back, like, ooh, pull it back a little bit, you know what I mean? Let's not be condescending, people, but let's also not recognize that there are people who are spiritually very ignorant all around us. These people are very, sometimes they're very spiritually ignorant, but sometimes they're also very opinionated. You know what I'm talking about? And they have this opinion to tell you. Because you're just, you know what? Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. You know what I mean? You're just like way out. Woo! You know, oh, I got to help my brother. You know what I mean? Help my uncle or, you know, whatever. No, you don't got to help me. Amen? Amen? And listen, and don't criticize those people because at some point in time, they're going to call you on the phone. Amen? You know, the wacko uncle is going to be the one who they're calling. Amen? You know, the crazy aunt, they're going to call you. Hey, crazy aunt. Oh, I didn't mean to say crazy. But can I recognize? You know what they recognize? You know what? Something's happening in your life. See, don't be deceived, guys. God will not be mocked. And if you will just be consistent in your believing God, you will reap a harvest. Yes, some of that harvest is going to be in heaven. But let me tell you what, a lot of that harvest will be right here on this earth. That's right. And you have a format to speak to those people and to tell them, hey, let me tell you what. You know what the Bible says, how we defeat Satan? One of the ways that we defeat Satan, through the word of our testimony. What are you doing? You are not quitting. You're not stopping. And you have every reason, every physical reason to stop. But you're saying, I don't care. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what the surgeon said. I don't care what the nurse said. I don't care what my family said. I don't care I don't care what my spouse said. I don't care what anybody said. I just care what God said. Let God be true and every man a liar. And I'm sticking to what he said. And over a period of time, what time? I don't know. That version, one version says, you know what, in due season. One version says the proper time. One version says the right time. One version says when the time is right. I don't know what time. Here's what I know. I know that the word of God says, you know what, that to his promises, the only thing he says is yea and amen. Yes. Amen. That's how, let me tell you what, that's how Jesus taught. That's not what I hear on the Christian radio, but that's how Jesus taught. Jesus didn't teach, well, you know what? You never know what I'm going to do. You know what? Sometimes I'm just all over the page. You just never know. No, that's not. Look at what God did. You tell me what one sick person did God not heal? Just give me one example. I'll save you time. You know what? Oh, you look for it yourself. You ain't going to find it. You ain't going to find one example. Jesus looked at somebody sick and said, oh, this is, I can't heal you. Can't do it. It's not the will of God. Never find one time. Why? Because God's will is that people would walk in healing. God's will is that people would be delivered. There was never one demon-possessed person that God said, oh, no. We're jacked up now. You know what I mean? You were, not one, guys. I'm just teaching the way Jesus taught. Amen? And that offends people. Jesus offended people. But I don't think that. Listen, I'm just saying, don't argue with me. You know what? Try to argue it through the word. Show me that I'm wrong. Number one, others will mock you. Number two, Sometimes you start to question you. Listen, let me tell you why you start to question yourself. Because, you know what, you don't see it right away. Because of the microwave. You know, here's what you do. You know what, you take the hammer and you try to break the rock. And you say, look, it's not breaking. It's not breaking. It's not breaking. See, proof. You know, I hit that thing 5 times with a big old hammer. Big old honking hammer. Right, Jody? You know honking, right? Big old honking hammer. Nothing happened. See, proof. No. I have something, you know what, that is more real than what you see. Heaven and earth pass away, but the word of God is never going to pass away. That is more true. And if you will stick with what God said, I'm telling you, you will reap a harvest. You're going to see the manifestations. Are you learning something today? And you start to question yourself. Here's what God says to you, those of you who question yourself. Don't grow weary doing good. Don't stop. You haven't missed it. Listen, think about it. All Satan can do is, he's got no power. You know, Satan got no power. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, no, he doesn't. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, no, he doesn't. The Bible says that the power has been given to the sons of men. How many in this room have a dad? Raise your hand if you have dad. Okay, if you don't, you're a zombie and I need to talk to you later. Okay, raise your hand if you have a dad. Raise your hand if you have a dad. You, the Bible says, that who's been given the power on this earth has been given to the sons of men. How many have a tongue? How many have a tongue? Say, la, 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 la. Come on, somebody. I know it's silly. Help me out. La, 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 la. You got a tongue. Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Jesus said, let me remind you again, anyone who says to this mountain be removed, cast the sea down in his heart. That's Jesus. Amen. Stop questioning yourself. All Satan can do is try to talk you out of what you already know. And if you know, you don't. If all you do is don't quit, you're going to reap a harvest, then all you have to do is just not quit. That's all you have to do. Hallelujah. All you have to do is not quit. Do you see how this comes together? Of course, Satan's going to say, oh, give up, give up, give up, give up, give up, give up, give up. Oh, you've been waiting. Oh, see that rock. You hit it 8 times. You hit it 8 times the first service. Here, I got a word for Satan. Shutteth thou uppeth. Amen. No. Listen. I need to stop listening to him and his intimidation tactics to try to get, all he can do is try to get me to stop. Why? Because the power has been given to the sons of men. Amen? When you got saved, when you came into the family of God, what did he do that whole week? You didn't really get it. You didn't really get it. Your hand wasn't up enough. You didn't say it loud enough. You didn't get it. You know what? I tell people, you know what? We baptize people in the Holy Spirit. They speak in tongues all the time at this church. Well, I won't believe in that. Well, you believe in whatever you want to believe. Amen. Jesus said, I believe Jesus. Amen. Jesus. Well, that's not. Oh, let's get back to the basics. Let's get back to the basics. Jesus is the one who says, you know what? They will speak with new tongues. Who are going to speak with new tongues? He told you, those who believe. I know there's all kinds of Christians who are never, listen to me, who are never walking in the advantage of praying in tongues. Paul said, I pray in tongues more than everyone. Paul said, don't forbid people to walk in the spiritual gifts. Don't forbid people. Don't think it's, yeah, but I know that wacky church and that wacky lady, she was crazy, you know what I mean? Listen, I know, but Paul wasn't crazy. Amen? How many ever got a haircut? A little crazy haircut. How many ever got a bad haircut? Come on, some of you aren't even telling the truth. Okay, bad haircut. What did you do? Did you stop going to a barber? I'm never going to cut my hair again. No, there's people, and I understand that there's people who take the spiritual gifts and they take them out of whack. The whole Corinthian church did this. But let me warn you. The Corinthian church wasn't told to shut it down. The Corinthian church was told to do it accurately in order. Amen? Can I tell you what in order means? In order doesn't mean not at all. We have churches. We have churches. They have crosses. And if you believe in speaking in tongues, you're like, oh, you know what? And they will, you know what? And you start to manifest anything in the spirit, and they'll be like, you know, all of a sudden the ushers will be, ooh. You know what I mean? And you get that, you know what they're saying. Hello? Pastor George, am I not right? Listen, we're gonna do things in order, this church. Notice we got nobody swinging on the chandeliers. Amen. Well, whatever. On the speaker, we got nobody, you know what, rolling and foaming at the mouth. We got none of that. Can I tell you what? But what in the world? What kind of service are we going to have? If we say, Holy Spirit, you lead the spirit, you lead the service. And then when somebody has a message to give as orchestrated in order by the leadership of the church, that we shut it down and say, ooh, we can't have that, we can't have that, we can't have that. You can say amen to this. Number one, others will mock it. Number two, you start to question it yourself. And number three, listen to this, and we'll finish here. It's heartbreaking when something that you want something and you don't see it happen. I mean, it's heartbreaking when you want something and you don't see it happen. The Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred can make the heart sick. So you're wanting something, you're praying something, and you don't see it, and all of a sudden you get discouraged. Well, I would say to you quite humbly, the problem is you're walking by sight and not by faith. See, and listen, and I know I can preach this very well because I lived it. I remember being in the South Sanctuary, having less than 50 people in the church. And praying and believing that God would cause us to grow, and me coming out of my little office in the North Sanctuary and coming to preach and then be less than 50 people. I remember preaching 4 years and then there was less than 40 people in the South Sanctuary. For years. You say, Pastor, what did you do? I didn't quit. Amen. And I encouraged myself. And the Holy Spirit would speak to you. How many know God will speak to you? And the Holy Spirit would speak to me and say, Drew, just don't quit. Here's how the church is going to grow. It's going to grow on the power of the Word of God. So keep on preaching the Word of God and watch what will happen. And I came out next week expecting to see at least 20 more people, and I saw 4 less people. Amen. And you start to go, and you start to question yourself, and you start to think it'll never happen, and then you can listen to the doctors and your friends. I told you it would never work. I told you you're crazy for pastoring that church. I told you all this stuff over and over and over again. Let me tell you what. Don't grow weary in doing good. For in due season, you will reap a harvest if you do not lose heart. The Bible guarantees it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. Amen. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were also called. You're called to this. And have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Have a good confession. God is going to heal me. And then don't back off on that. Have a good confession. God is going to restore my marriage, and then don't back off on that. Have a good confession. God is going to restore my family. And don't back off on that. Have a good confession. My business is going to be successful. And don't back off on that. Have a good confession. I am going to walk in forgiveness with everyone, even people who've hurt me deeply. And don't back off on that. Amen. What's that? That's a good confession. You know what that is? That's a fight. And you know what the Bible calls that fight? He calls it a good fight. Because God says, yes, when you believe and trust in God beyond what you can see, he says, ooh, that's good. Yeah, amen. Amen. What did he say? Remember the man and his daughter was sick? His daughter was sick and they went to him and all kinds of people were saying, ooh, and then they came and said, we talked about it earlier, ooh, your daughter's dead. Oh, now I'm mixing up two stories. Let me tell you another story. Remember the guy it wasn't his daughter, his servant was sick at home. And he goes to go to his house, and the guy says, oh, you don't have to come over to the house. Just speak a word. See, God loves when you believe something and you don't even see it yet. God's like, yes, that's what I like. Amen. First Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. How many recognize sometimes there's trials, sometimes there's challenges in life. You're like, oh, I don't know what happened. It's like, oh, God says, hey, relax. You're in a football game. You got tackled. Amen. Don't freak out. Amen. You ever see a baseball player? You know these baseball players get hit? The ball, it's a hard ball. Somebody say it's a hard ball. They're being pitched like 90 miles an hour and plus. You know what I mean? And these guys get hit. You ever see how they act? They're like, you know what? The guy hits them. They're like. You ever see them? How many know that's not what's going on, amen? What are they doing? They're saying, no. Listen, I'm playing hardball. I'm a bad dude. You ain't gonna mess with me. I'm not gonna give you the satisfaction of acting like, you know what I mean? You ever see these guys? You ever see that? Not once. You have never seen that. Amen. Sometimes you'll see them go after the pitcher sometime. I'll tell you what. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. You've seen that. But you never see them crying. Right? There's no crying in baseball. Amen? Right? You never see them crying. There's no crying in baseball. You can't do that. Listen, we can't. There's no lack of faith in Christianity. We got to believe God. That's who we are. And when things happen to you, don't be all shocked. Ooh, I'm so shocked. Something happened. I had adversity in this world. Well, you're going to have adversity in this world. Don't be like strange. Like, I don't know what happened. You know what? The Bible doesn't say that the righteous will never suffer anything. It just says that God will deliver us. Amen? Amen? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. All right, I'm going to finish with this. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. This is my favorite scripture. One of my favorite scriptures. This is my life verse. While we do not look at the things that are seen, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Watch this. For the things which are not seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. See, the things that you see are deceptive. They're temporary. One version says they are inferior. But the things which are not seen are superior. What do you not see? You don't see the word of God is not seen. How did he form everything was formed? You know what? By speaking out of his mouth. Can I tell you what? You can trust everything that you read in the Bible, every single little thing. You can trust it. Everything. So we'll talk about two things and then I'll finish up. I'm going to talk to you about rock mechanics. I'm going to talk to you about rock mechanics, and I'm going to talk to you about learned helplessness. And I'm going to talk to you about these two things that seem they have nothing to do with each other, but they have everything to do with each other. What's rock mechanics? Here's what's rock mechanics. I can hit this rock. You know what? I hit it about 8 times in the first service. I've hit it about 10 times in this service, and it seems like it won't break. But if I continue to do this, what you don't know is the integrity of this rock, every time I hit it, is breaking down. Inside, stuff is happening. Before we started, it was very solid, but it is less solid now. And if we continue to do this, at some point in time, we might be here till the Esperanza service. But maybe at 6:15, we're going to hit it, and it will break. And when I break, I mean it will fall apart. It will break. Why? Because every time I hit it, the integrity is happening. The integrity of the rock is weakening. Now, let me talk to you about something else that doesn't seem like it has to do with each other, but it has exactly something to do with each other. Let me talk about learned helplessness. What's learned helplessness? Here's what learned helplessness is. It's when they tie up a baby elephant with a chain because they don't want it to go to a certain place. So that baby elephant is tied up to a chain. It is will come out to where it wants to go, but when it hits this, it stops, and it's actually choked to some extent. Boom. It can't go. It wants to go farther, but it can't because of the chain. Does this make sense? So, boom, it can't, boom, it can't, boom, it can't. But it keeps on trying. Why? Because it wants to go there. But after some point in time, it has learned to become, I don't have control of this. I'm helpless. And even when that elephant is an adult, they can chain that elephant with a simple, small, little rope. And that elephant, watch this, will not even try to go to this place anymore. He will stay in this space. Why? Because he has learned that he is helpless. Now let me connect the two. Many times in our prayer life, in our spiritual life, in our reality life, we try to believe for something, try to pray for something, try to go somewhere spiritually, and we don't see the ramification right away. So at some point in time, instead of understanding that something's happening to this rock, that's why the Bible says, lean not unto your own understanding. That's why the Bible says, you know what, that we are commanded to, in the New Testament, to walk by faith, not by sight. Here's why. Because faith works. Guys, we've been lied to. We've been lied to. We've had pastors who care too much about their reputation. You know, what if he doesn't? That's ridiculous. It's impossible for God to lie. We just need to step out in faith like Peter did and walk on the water. Start walking in the supernatural. How are we going to do that? Here's how we're going to do it. By faith and patience. By faith and patience. Let me tell you a story. God called us to this church. I knew that God had called us to this church. And so, you know what? I put in my resume, was the first person to put in their resume to be the next pastor of this church. And what happened? Nothing happened. And month after month after month, you know what? As Tamara and I are coming and sitting on the front row, it's like, oh, we're here. You got my application, right? Hello. And here's what we heard. We heard the leadership of the church stand up there and say, continue to pray for the search committee as they search for our next pastor. And what do you think I'm thinking? I'm thinking, search committee, what are you searching for? I'm right here. I said, Pastor, what did you do? I prayed. I confirmed that what God said is what he wants to do. Can I tell you what? Satan will be quick to give you plan B. Somebody needs to hear this. Satan will be quick to give you plan B. And plan B sucks. Did he say sucks? Yes, because it does. Plan B sucks. Why? Because it's not God's plan. Do you understand that? It's not God's plan. And don't go for it. Don't go for plan B. And so, you know what? And I went back to God. Because how many know we can miss it sometimes? And I went back to God. And God, no, you haven't missed it. But I could easily be discouraged. Because month after month after month after month, you know what? They kept on speaking. Continue to pray for the search committee as they look for our next pastor. I'm thinking, what in the world? What did you do with my resume? You know, we got to keep on looking. You know, that's how I felt. How many know you can't go on your feelings? Your feelings will deceive you. It'll take you all over the place. So what did you do? I just kept on saying, you know what? Hey, I'm just going to continue to do what God has instructed me to do. What was that? Just be faithful. Just be faithful to the interim pastor. Just be faithful. Bring your family here. Bring your tithe here. Just be faithful. That's all I was doing. So one day I'm leaving. It's rainy, drizzly. And I'm just discouraged because they made another announcement. You know, we're looking, pray for the search committee as they look for the next pastor. Yeah, I'm just in the front row, you know what I mean? So I started to walk away. Tamron had already taken the kids home in a separate car. And I was doing some stuff. And then I was going home. And I turned around and I looked at the steeple. And it was beautiful, kind of like a postcard picture. And I remember the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, if you back out now, that will be one of the most foolish decisions you will ever make in your life. You know what? And then listen to me. And then I would like to say, and then the next week, boom, they came to me and said, ooh, you know, you're going to be the next pastor. That's not what happened. See, guys, it doesn't happen that way sometimes. And we back off because we're so convinced that nothing's happening. Let me tell you what, rock mechanics, stuff is happening in the spiritual realm. Stuff is happening in the spiritual realm. And all you have to do is not stop. And so what did I do? You know what, I just kept on believing and knew that God would that at some point in time, they would see what I had seen in the spiritual realm. And you know what, and I was going to be patient. And another month happened, 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 and another month happened. And listen, and even when we were finally called to the church, I already told you the story. You know what? How many years? You know how many years I was bivocational at Albertsons? Over 10 years. On Sunday, me having to say, oh, well, I guess I'm just going to have to put on my Albertsons smock and, you know, go to Lucky's, go to Albertsons, go to Lucky's. You know what I mean? You know what? Only had one tattoo. You know what? It was the low price leader. I put it right on my chest. Lucky's, the low price leader. You know what I mean? Never do it again. I had to get that whole thing taken off. It was a lot of pain. Okay, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. I'm just joking. Okay. I'm just joking. But how many know, you know what? When I was going into Albertsons, you know what, and putting on that smock, Satan would have a heyday and say, you don't even know how to preach. You're a wannabe preacher. You know what I mean? You're a pretend preacher. You know what I mean? I remember marrying Tamara's Tamara's sister. You know what? John's brother. What is he to me? Nothing, huh? Anyway. My brother-in-law's brother, you know what? It was like, you don't have a church? You're like, why are you even doing the service? You know what? Because I did the service with a real preacher. He was like, what are you, like one of those wannabe cops at the malls? You know what I mean? You're like one of the wannabe preachers? You know what I mean? Is that what you are? Totally. You know what? But he didn't have to do that because Satan did that all day long. As I'm putting on my smock and going to Albertsons and preaching to less than 50 people. Guys, listen. First service, we start to praise and worship, and there's probably 10 people in the whole sanctuary. Pastor, you're not moved? I'm not. Listen, I ain't moved one bikini beanie. What's that? That's a little bit. I'm not moved at all. I mean, why? Here's why. Because I am looking. I've learned. Guys, I've been on that roller coaster. I'm off that roller coaster. What are we going to do? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to preach to hundreds, and we're going to preach to thousands. That's what we're going to do. Why? Because that's the vision. And once you get on this, your heart isn't a flutter because everything's not perfect in your church. Everything's not perfect in your family. Everything's not perfect in your health. You're not moved by what you see. Why? Because you walk by faith, not by sight. Amen? Yeah. Honey, I'm thinking about a bunch of songs right now I'm going to sing to you. That's the truth. I was.
Amen. All right. I was just sitting back there thinking, and I wanted to say this. You know what? Faith and patience, here's what faith is. Faith is you involved. God doesn't do anything without us. I sat there thinking about that time coming here and all that took place. Anything amazing that happened with us at the helm of it. Do you understand that? We had to believe what God said, take God's word, and be involved with our faith. I think a lot of times believers, they know the word, they know what it says, but they don't apply it, that you're involved right in the heat of it. Without you, the word doesn't work. Do you understand that? That's kind of a weird thing to say, but I want you to get a word picture. It takes you believing God and then putting faith to that and moving in it. And a lot of times we know the word, but we don't grab it and move in it. Does that make sense, Pastor George? You have to grab it and move in it. And we become lazy in our knowledge of the word of God. We kind of kick back in a recliner and we say, okay, well, God said this. When's that going to happen? It doesn't work like that. God did say that, but my experience is God said it. I took it personal that he said it to me. And then I had to walk that out, not recline in a recliner and chill out and wait for it to happen. And I think that's where much of the body of Christ needs to grab hold of that truth. Even right now, there's a situation. Well, listen, the South Sanctuary didn't happen because God wanted it to happen. It happened because God wanted it to happen. Pastor Drew caught that from the Lord and then just said, God's going to do this thing, and started, you know what I mean, doing whatever God told him to do. And when Pastor Drew did that, God showed up. That one there, he kind of got in the boat and started all by himself on that one, kind of like us coming here. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like us coming here. I got a lot of part in between those two stories. But coming here was just like, whoo, too off the beaten path. It's like it could not be. But Pastor Drew saw it clear. And so when it happened, it's like, now what? I was so sure that wasn't going to happen. I was so sure that God was doing something else because this was just too unbelievable. But as I saw God, I knew, nope, it's God. So as unbelievable as it is, grab Pastor Drew's hand and start running. Because for sure it's God. Well, we can take everything that he said in this word and for sure it's God. But where does that apply? What are you applying it? Or do you just know it? Faith speaks. Faith believes. Faith sees. Faith knows. There's nothing that's happened here that has not happened by faith. And that faith is not always a pretty picture. Do you know that? That faith was me on my hands and knees just crying, saying, Lord, what are we going to do here? But Lord, what about that? But Lord, this is a lot. Do you know how much it costs, Lord, for that? Do you see what I'm saying? But then you got to get up off that floor and go, okay, well, God owns it all. And so is there anything that is too much for the Lord? Wait a minute. You know what I mean? Get a grip. But it is this constant, do you see it? It is this constant tension with naysayers and mountains around us that we had to not focus on the mountain, but focus on God. Not focus on what the people were saying, but focus on what God said. Not focus on the lack, but focus on all sufficiency is in him. Does that make sense? But if you're not doing that tension walk, that's why you're not walking in God's provision. Because it's completely a tension walk. And you can't be lazy and end up with, you know what I mean, a heritage of, whoa, check out God. Because God does it with you all day long, not just on his own, you know what, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, let's do something awesome over there. Nope, it's totally working this thing out. And so I hope that your faith is not faith that is known, but faith that it becomes very, very, very proactive. Because as your faith becomes proactive, God ends up right at the center of it. Because when you're walking something out by faith, really, I'm telling you the truth, all we had was his word. All we had was what he said. And if we hadn't made that our foundation, we all wouldn't be sitting in this room. When we came to the South Sanctuary, I said, do you have any idea how much work that is to flip this whole church? Yeah, well, we were thinking about it. Do you have any idea how crazy that is, like how much work that's going to be? And what about that amount of money? We've never raised that much money. And do you remember how long it took us to raise that money for the chairs? Pastor Drew knows if he says, Tamara, it's just what God is saying. Whoop, I shut up. Okay. Well, you didn't say that. You didn't say you thought it was God. I thought this was you thinking about this. I thought this was you wanting to do something. No, Tamara, it's God. Oh. Then what do we need to do? Let's get busy. Amen? So make sure that people can see your faith. You ought to be able to see your faith. You ought to be feeling that tension, but you always end up back on God's word and what God said. Don't get knocked off, because that happens sometimes too. We start out right, we understand it's attention, but then we end up, you know what, off of God's word. And we let the circumstances around us and the challenges, the mountains around us and the naysayers around us, we let all of that. There's one place where we see Jesus not doing something, and that's where they didn't believe that he would do it. They didn't believe that he could. Is that not true with us, with many situations in our life?
Absolutely.
That's the one place where you're going to see where Jesus, where God can't do it. He can't do it where you won't believe and get in there with him. He does it together. And this is a stretching time. Most of us don't want to stretch. You know what I mean? You want to get up and work out, or you want to stay in bed? You want to eat an apple, or you want a piece of chocolate cake? You know what I mean? You want to stay where you're at, or you want to start walking by faith? It's kind of that same thing. But let me tell you this. It's addictive if you'll do it. As soon as you do it and you've got that God story of what God did when you and him, and he said, and you didn't know, and then you saw, and then you said, and then you trusted, and then you walked, and you believed, and you left, and you came, and you did this, and you did that, and now, see, once you've got that, the next one's easier, and the next one's easier, and the next, because you begin to get this heritage of you and God, you and your faith and God, who honors that faith, and who guides you and directs you and walks with you. And that's what each one of us, right now there's situations in my life, you know what I mean, that I'm kind of in a recliner on. Get out of the recliner, girl. Get up. Start to get some word on it. Start to move forward in it. And that's how we're going to get the outside. Same thing. We're not in a recliner on that. We're pressing God. We're seeking God. We're trusting God. We're saying, God, how? You know what? What do you want us to do? What do we say? What do we go? What do we do? How do you want it done? What's next? And this partnership takes us to all kinds of great places. But it is a partnership. Amen? Amen. Amen.